Title: Sub and Kick Balance Masterclass Without Third-Party Plugins Intermediate. All right, let's lock in. In drum and bass, your kick and your sub are the engine. If they're fighting, the whole tune feels small and kind of tired. Even if your synths are nasty and your drums are crisp, the low end decides whether it feels professional. In this lesson, we're doing a repeatable workflow inside Ableton Live using only stock devices. No third-party plugins, no mystery chains. Just the fundamentals done properly: frequency separation, timing and phase alignment, sidechain that actually makes sense, mono discipline, and a few arrangement moves that make the mix almost mix itself. Here's the mindset I want you to adopt before we even touch an EQ: decide who owns the very bottom. In most EDNB, the sub owns the deepest octave, roughly 40 to 60 Hz. The kick can feel huge, but it usually feels huge from upper bass, like 80 to 130 Hz, plus the transient and click. If both the kick and the sub are trying to be the deepest thing, you're going to chase your tail with EQ and still wonder why the drop doesn't hit. Step 0. Session setup. Quick, but don't skip it. Set your tempo to something DNB realistic, like 170 to 176 BPM. Make sure warp is on and your kick sample is actually tight to the grid. A lazy kick start is one of those silent low-end killers because it messes with timing and your sidechain response. Now create four tracks: kick, sub, sub a C trigger as an optional ghost trigger, and then group the kick and sub into a group called low-end bus. This group is your control center. You're going to a slash B faster, and you'll be able to do light glue processing without treating the kick and sub like two enemies. Next, choose a kick that actually fits your bass. This is where intermediate producers level up, because it's not about fixing everything later. It's about choosing sounds that want to work together. Quick rolls. Punch kicks are short and tight, great for rolling bass lines. Fatty kicks have more tail and body, and they can absolutely work, but they're more likely to overlap your sub sustain and cause masking. Do a quick test early. Solo kick and sub together. If it sounds like you need extreme EQ moves just to make them coexist, that's a sound choice problem, not a mixing problem. A good reference point: if your sub fundamental is around 45 to 55 Hz, like around F to G-ish depending on octave, your kick body ideally lives higher, around 90 to 120 Hz. And then the kick click or attack tends to sit around 2 to 5K. That's the separation you're aiming for. Now let's build a stable, mixable sub, stock only. On the sub track, use operator. Operator is perfect for this because it's consistent. You're not fighting random sample inconsistencies, and you can control the envelope precisely. Set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep it mono. One voice. For the envelope, use a tiny attack, like 0 to 5 milliseconds, just enough to avoid clicks. Keep decay short or basically none. Sustain at full, and release around 50 to 120 milliseconds. You want it tight, but not clicky. Now the device chain for the sub. First, EQ 8. High pass at 20 to 25 Hz. Steep slope like 24 dB per octave. That's not making it thinner. That's removing rumble you don't hear, but you absolutely pay for in headroom. If you hear mud in the low mids, maybe 120 to 200 Hz, you can do a tiny cut, but only if it's actually there. Don't pre-cut just because you saw a tutorial once. Second, saturator. This is where we make the sub translate on smaller systems without turning it into fuzz. Use soft clip mode, drive around 2 to 6 dB. And then match the output so you're not getting fooled by loudness. If there's an option for a DC filter, enable it. The goal is harmonics and stability, not volume tricks. Third, utility. Set width to 0%. Mono. Non-negotiable for the true sub. Clubs some low-end. Phones are basically mono, and wide subs disappear or get weird fast. Now a quick check. Drop a spectrum after utility and confirm your fundamental is where you think it is, and that it stays consistent note to note. Use spectrum as a sanity check, not as your boss. All right, now we shape the kick so it leaves room for the sub, without losing attitude. On the kick track, start with EQ 8. Put a high pass around 25 to 35 Hz. Kicks often have useless sub rumble down there, and it steals headroom with almost no benefit. Then listen for the fight zone. A super common clash is when the kick has a big fundamental around 45 to 70 Hz, basically stepping on the sub's home turf. If that's happening, do a gentle bell dip, like minus 2 to minus 5 dB, cue around 1 to 1.8. Tweep slowly until the kick stops bulleting the sub. If your kick needs more definition, add a small bell boost around 2 to 4K, maybe plus 1 to plus 3 dB. You're helping the kick read, especially at low monitoring volume. Optional, but powerful. Drum Bass, Zart Subtle, Drive maybe 2 to 10%, Crunch 0 to 10, and keep Boom off at first. Boom can absolutely wreck your low-end balance if you're not careful, because it adds low resonance that can land right on top of your sub. If you want more punch, try turning transients up, like plus 5 to plus 20. Optional again, glue compressor on the kick just for consistency. Attack around 10 ms, release on auto, ratio 2 to 1, and aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the loudest hits. The goal is more consistent punch, not flattening it. Now we get to the invisible fix, timing and phase. Here's the thing, if the kick and sub are slightly offset in time, the low end can cancel or just feel hollow, and you'll turn things up and it still won't hit. This is why method A is nudging the sub MIDI, loop a section where kick and sub hit together, zoom in. Try moving the sub notes by tiny amounts. Start with plus or minus 5 milliseconds, then try 10. Listen for maximum solid weight and push. When you hit the right spot, it's not subtle. It suddenly feels like the low end locks. Method B is track delay, which is faster for a slash B. Use Ableton's track delay control and try setting the sub earlier, like minus 5 to minus 15 milliseconds. Or try small offsets on the kick. Don't chase perfect visuals. Chase the biggest, cleanest impact. One extra coach trick here, do not do this at only one listening volume. Check at quiet and moderate volume. At quiet volume, the kick should still read because the transient and harmonics carry it. At moderate volume, the sub should feel stable underneath, not swallowing the kick. Now, sidechain. This is where a lot of people technically sidechain, but it still feels messy or pumpy in the wrong way. You've got two valid approaches in DNB. Transparent ducking, where the mix feels clean and modern, or audible pump, where the groove breathes on purpose. I recommend using a ghost trigger track, because it gives you consistent control. Create the sub SC trigger track, drop in a short click or a kick like transient, or duplicate your kick. Make it hit exactly where you want the sub to duck, usually right on the kick. Then make it inaudible, set its output so it doesn't go to the master, or bring the fader all the way down, while still letting it feed the sidechain. Now on the sub track, add Ableton's compressor and enable sidechain. Choose the input, sub SC trigger, or just the kick if you're keeping it simple. Now the key move, use the sidechain EQ filter. Turn it on. High pass the detector around 60 to 90 Hz, and optionally low pass around 2 to 5K. What that does is it stops the compressor from reacting to irrelevant low rumble and focuses it on the part of the kick that matters for timing and punch. For transparent DNB settings, start here, ratio 3 to 1. Attack 0.5 to 3 milliseconds, release 40 to 90 milliseconds, and set the threshold for about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. If the sub feels like it wobbles or it's late, your release is probably too long. Shorten it. If the kick still isn't reading, you can increase gain reduction slightly, or you can shorten the sub note lengths. And yes, shortening MIDI notes is sometimes the cleanest mixing move you can do. Advanced variation if one compressor isn't doing it. Two-stage ducking. Put two compressors in series on the sub. First one is the fast catch, super fast attack, like 0.1 to 1 ms, release 20 to 40 ms, just 1 to 2 dB of reduction. Second one is body control, attack 3 to 10 ms, release 60 to 120 ms, another 1 to 3 dB. The result is clarity, without the sub sounding like it's doing that weird seasick breathing. Now that we've got kick and sub behaving, we treat them like a system. On the low-end bus group, keep it gentle. EQ 8 for cleanup only, if you need it. A high pass at 20 Hz, steep, but avoid heavy EQ here. Fix problems on the individual tracks first. Then, optional glue compressor for actual glue, not squish. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack around 30 ms so the transient gets through. Release auto and aim for 0 to 2 dB of gain reduction. You should barely feel it. You just notice the low end is a bit more one piece. Then utility. If your low-end bus is truly just kick and sub, you can keep the entire thing mono by setting width to 0. That's a legit move for club translation. Adjust gain so you're not slamming your mix bus. Now, a really practical coach note, trim clip gain before processors. If your kick sample is insanely hot, your saturator and compressor will behave totally differently from project to project. Go into the sample clip and reduce clip gain until it's hitting a reasonable level. Then do your processing. This makes your sidechain threshold and timing choices way more predictable. Also, use meters like a system check, not just spectrum. Loop two bars of the drop. Mute the kick and watch the master peak. Unmute it. Then do the same with the sub. If one element creates a huge peak, jump but doesn't actually feel much louder, it's eating headroom. Common culprits: sub rumble below 25 Hz, overlong sub release, or a kick with too much low fundamental. Now let's talk balance, because the best chain in the world doesn't matter if you set levels wrong. Pick a reference bar in your drop. Classic DNB, kick on 1 and 3, snare on 2 and 4, bass rolling around it. Set the sub first. Get it feeling big but controlled. Then bring the kick up until it's clearly audible on small speakers. That's the real test. If the kick only works when you crank the volume, you're not giving it enough upper harmonics or transient definition. Then check in context with snare and breaks. Especially in jungle-leaning stuff, breaks can have hidden low-end thump around 150 to 250 Hz that changes how the whole low-end feels. If your break is stepping on the low-end, consider high-passing the break around 80 to 120 Hz, or do tiny clip gain dips on the break only when the kick hits, like 1 to 2 dB. That keeps the character without masking your punch. A quick reminder, Spectrum might show the sub as bigger than the kick. That's fine. You're not trying to make the kick taller on a graph. You're trying to make it readable. Now arrangement, because this is the cheat code that most people underuse. Even a perfect mix falls apart if your arrangement stacks low energy non-stop. Try these moves. 1. Remove or automate the sub down during fills. If you have a busy kick fill or snare rush, let the sub breathe or simplify. 2. Shorten sub notes in rolling sections. Microspace is what lets the kick feel like it punches through, instead of being swallowed by a constant sine wave carpet. 3. Pre-drop contrast. 2 bars before the drop, high pass the sub up to around 120 to 180 Hz using EQ8 or auto filter, then snap it back on the downbeat. The drop will feel bigger without actually making the sub louder. That's perceived loudness done smart. If you're going for darker or heavier DNB, here are a couple pro moves that stay stock. Add a harmonic layer above the sub instead of dirtying the true sub. Duplicate the sub to a new track called sub harmonics or mid bass. This audio version is shortened for playback.